A reading from Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 1 and then verses 13 through 25. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who did such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Here ends the reading. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Last Sunday, as the dear folks prepared for day camp in my congregation, Joy Lutheran Church, or last Sunday while you did wherever you were in your respective location doing whatever it was you did there, last Sunday, Harriet and I were walking and sobbing our way through the Dachau concentration camp. Opened in 1933 by order of Heinrich Himmler, Dachau gets billed as a labor camp where thousands of prisoners, Jews, artists, homosexuals, people with mental illnesses, people with diabetes, which was considered a Jewish disease, are forced to labor for Hitler's Germany. Dachau's purpose shifts as Hitler calls for the extermination of millions. Documents not destroyed by the SS reveal 32,000 deaths in Dachau, including 1,034 murdered Christian clergy. Thousands more deaths occur, mind you, yet these are undocumented because SS officers destroy the paper trail. Dachau is the blighted fruit produced when an unhealthy degree of nationalism cross-pollinates with an unhealthy Christian theology, in which one group of people or other groups of people, per Nazism, people of other sexual orientations, colors, cultures, religions, life philosophies, are seemingly put out there as problems for their country. Allied forces liberate Dachau on April 26, 1945. For Orthodox Christians, Easter is coming early this year. It's falling on May 6th. So they're in that place built by distrust and hate. Orthodox priests proclaim the resurrection hope freely offered by the God whose love knows no ends. Last Sunday, 6 feet underground, I stand in Dachau's Jewish memorial. I've gone down a long, dark ramp into an incredibly dark prayer room. I become emotional because I begin to feel that this underground room memorializes those who have died in Dachau's crematoriums. In this room, there are no windows. Everything is silent. Yet in deep darkness, light shines through a hole in the ceiling at the back of the room. Through this hole, a menorah is visible, extending its 7 arms to the sky. It reminds me how, when I find myself amidst death and darkness, God is present. For each of us, a truth stands tall. Light, not darkness, always has the final word. In the U.S., right now, amidst a sweltering heat wave that drains our energy, after a month of tragic violence, it makes us increasingly numb and anxious. The U.S. Supreme Court alters the legal landscape by overturning Roe versus Wade. No matter our positions relative to the Supreme Court's decision, this decision has caused many to believe that civil rights in the United States of America are now in retrograde. Some feel that they are the winners. Others feel that they and generations after theirs are clear losers. Whenever this happens, it is incredibly easy for us to want to adopt the approach of the disciples to ask Jesus if we might call fire to come down from heaven to consume them. In the disciples' case, the them is the group that has behaved in a way that the disciples greatly dislike, the outsiders, the Samaritans. Of course, Jesus is not a fan of the disciples' approach, so Jesus rebukes them. And if we take the approach of the disciples, it is a safe and sure bet that Jesus will rebuke us too. So, where does this leave us? The numbed, the sweltering, the anxious, the angry. Where does it leave us? When the darkness is feeling so very thick, what do we do? 3 chapters before our gospel reading, Jesus says, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." In short, we take the high road. We must pray for those who persecute us. And this is not easy. Truly, it's not, especially when we feel that we are victimized. It's not easy. It just is not easy. So, how does one pray for those who seemingly act and behave in controlling, myopic, intolerant, bigoted ways? How does one pray for such people? And if we are the victims, do we even know if we can? This is our challenge. And it is not easy. These days, amidst much darkness, some find it tremendously hard to compassionately pray for those who seem to act and behave in arbitrary, controlling, myopic, hateful, and seemingly bigoted ways. Isn't it infinitely more desirable, even preferable, to pray that God sends fire down from heaven to consume them rather than for God to send a grace that turns their hearts? Isn't this because we find it tough to see controlling, myopic, hatefully behaving, seemingly bigoted people as lovingly created in the image of God? Jesus knows that times are going to come our way when we feel that the only response to the controlling, the myopic, the hateful, the seemingly bigoted is to fight fire with fire, to become equally controlling, myopic, hateful, and after our own fashion, bigoted. And what does that do for us? Nothing good. Which is why when the disciples take that approach, Jesus rebukes them. In the face of darkness, of controlling, myopic, hateful bigotry, Jesus tells us to move compassionately. Jesus expects us to do this hard thing, and it is a hard thing, because how we love the controlling, hateful, myopic, bigoted, even as they victimize us, is a clear indicator of the Christianity that we honestly practice. Not the Christianity that we profess, the Christianity we practice. We are called, whether we like it or not, whether we wish to or not, to love the controlling, the myopic, the hateful, and the bigoted, even when they victimize us. It is a tall order, and it is most assuredly not easy to do. Yet one German Lutheran pastor did it. Last century, Dietrich Bonhoeffer is imprisoned in a concentration camp after participating in a plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is executed only a few weeks before World War II ends. Yet before his execution, Dietrich comes to see his guards as his siblings in Christ. Even while daily suffering as their victim, Dietrich ministers to them, prays for them, and hears their confessions. Instead of taking the approach of the disciples to command fire to come down from above to consume them, Dietrich takes the approach of Jesus, acting compassionately towards them. In baptism, along with the good Reverend Dietrich Bonhoeffer, we've also promised to resist evil and to respect the dignity of every person, every single person, even those with whom we most deeply disagree, even those whose acts we most definitely deplore. In these days, when evil seems so very easy to spot, resist it. Resist the temptation before it transforms us into the entity, the organization, or the person who has victimized us. Resist hate. Resist the temptation to act hatefully, controlling, profoundly, myopic, and utterly bigoted. Resist the temptation to call down fire from heaven. Instead, join Bonhoeffer. Join Jesus. Take the approach of Jesus to resist evil, to show love, and to move with compassion amidst the deep darkness. As I have said a few times, this is most definitely not easy to do, but you can do it. You can do it, and in fact, you must do it, because there is light within you. The light is revealed when you act compassionately towards evil. When that light is revealed, evil will retreat. For that light that's flowing through you is the very same light that pierced Dachau. The same light that caused hope to endure in Dachau. The same light that always confounds and triumphs over the darkness and the hatred that can at times seem to pervade. This is your light. And the world desperately needs to see it. Reveal your light. Shine your light. Blaze with the light of Jesus, your Christ, and this present darkness, which seems so very pervasive, will eventually be revealed for what it is. Nothing much. Certainly nothing when compared to Christ's love. Amen.